If you are unaware, it is Super Bowl Sunday. Anybody out there who just, this is catching them off guard, Super Bowl Sunday? A couple folks, they're just like, I don't care. It's a national holiday. Didn't you know that? I mean, you're off work today because of the Super Bowl, right? Okay, maybe not. But it is kind of a big deal. I mean, you know, there's all sorts of stuff about the Super Bowl. It's, you know, it's been coming for a long time. A lot of people talk about it. But I know some people, they boycott it. They're just like, you know what, this is terrible. I've seen some people on social media, you know, I ain't watching the Super Bowl. Blah, 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 blah. It's terrible. It's just a materialistic, hedonistic, you know, thing. It's all just commercial. Well, and the commercials are hilarious, oftentimes. I mean, it's kind of almost become like there's the game, and then some people actually just watch it for the commercials because their companies put their best, and they spend lots and lots of money on the spot and then producing these little mini movies that happen between the times when the football players are hitting each other. But you think about that, like, okay, so there's some people out there who think that this is a terrible thing. What do we do with that? I mean, somebody else will say, hey, the Super Bowl is an awful thing, or especially the halftime show. You know, I mean, we've had Super Bowl parties at my house for a long time, and oftentimes we just kind of turn the halftime show off. We're just like, well, okay, we don't need that. We got kids around. Who knows how much skin they're going to be showing, dancing around and doing different stuff. We'll just take a break and fill up on snacks, eat some more fried food. But other people are just like, why are we turning the halftime show off? I like this artist or that artist, or I like this or that. And you're like, okay, well, how much do we get into this? How much do we have to, like, discuss this? Can you be a Christian and watch the Super Bowl? Can you be a Christian and watch the halftime show? Well, yeah, probably, right? I mean, it's not a salvation issue. But there's a lot of things like this. There's so many issues, and especially in the world that we live in with social media, it's everybody's just like up in arms about stuff, and they've got their hot button topics, and they're just like, okay, I'm gonna comment on this, or I'm gonna post about that, or did you see this news story? And it's so much driven by reaction and clicks and those sorts of things, and it's so hard to escape. And even us here, you know, we as a church can talk about things, and you can hear about somebody else and they share their opinion. You're like, oh man, do I touch that one or not? That sounds like a big deal. I mean, you think about all the different things. I got a list up here. Remember COVID and masks? That was a big deal. There were some people who thought masks were terrible and you should not wear a mask. And if you're wearing a mask, you're perpetuating this whole system and all these errors. And it was a big deal within the church. And then there's other people like, well, you're killing people if you don't wear a mask. And that was such a big deal. And there's Christians divided on it. And then there's all the other stuff on this list. That's a lot of issues, and that's just a few of them. It just goes on and on and on. Can you be a Christian and believe in genetic engineering? There's so much stuff. What do? We have issues. We do. How do we talk about this? What is most important? The church has argued about this sort of stuff throughout its entirety of existence. You know, the Holy Spirit came on believers at Pentecost, and they started arguing. Almost right away. Now, we get the book of Romans and some other New Testament letters, and it is right and appropriate for these books to talk about disputed issues and what's really important and what's not. You've got dangerous heresy where people are teaching the wrong thing, and that must be pushed aside, that must be argued against, that must be broken out and removed from the church. And then you have other things that are just silly. silly customs. You get creeds, you get councils, you get all sorts of, you get the Reformation standing up and saying this stuff is not right. Well, how do you confront such a difficult topic? I think Romans 14 is written to help us with this, and I don't think we teach it enough. I'm so glad we get to talk about this stuff because it is so important, especially in our day and age where everybody's got an opinion. Romans 14:1, welcome anyone who is weak in faith, but don't argue about disputed matters. And this is really, really good, but then you got to figure out which are the matters that are disputed. Which are the ones that you can argue about, and which are the ones that you shouldn't argue about. And this is all underneath what Paul is going to when he says, let love be without hypocrisy, and don't owe anyone anything except to love one another. This is what he's trying to get to, how we are to have community together and how we're supposed to care for one another. This is important. Charlie talked last week about this in the first part of Romans 14. Paul speaking to the weak and to the strong. Both sides are proud. And I love how he made that point. The weak person is proud and says, this is the way it has to be. You have to do these things in order to be right with God. The proud person says, no, I don't have to do that sort of stuff. All I have to do is believe. And Charlie made the point that fellowship is more important than we think it is. Now, Paul spends the first 11 chapters of the book of Romans laying out the proper way to think. And then as he gets into how we interact and the fellowship that we're supposed to have, how important this is comes onto center stage. As we think about getting along and what's disputed and what's not. Because he spent 11 chapters talking about what's not disputed. These are the core things. This is so important. You got to stand firm on these things. You cannot be united with somebody who believes differently about how you become a Christian. But yet, apparently, according to Romans 14, you can be united with somebody who thinks that you're not supposed to eat meat sacrificed to idols. And if you think that that's okay. Let's pray. Lord, help us. Help us muddle through this and not just come to a theoretical understanding, but a practical understanding. Help us to be able to apply this to our lives and the way that we interact with other people. Help us to learn how best to love those around us. And not only thus each other in this room, but beyond that, in our neighborhoods, at our workplaces, in our classrooms, whenever and wherever we go, help us figure out what it looks like to love that person and what issues to stand up for and what issues to sidestep and not argue about. Help us find that in faith. In Jesus' name, amen. So let's read. We just got 10 verses to read here together, but let's read them out of God's Word. Romans 14, 13 through 23. Grab a Bible. It's good to read them off the page. Okay, verse 13. Therefore, let us no longer judge one another. Instead, decide never to put a stumbling block or pitfall in the way of your brother or sister. I know and am persuaded in the Lord Jesus that nothing is unclean in itself. Still, to someone who considers a thing to be unclean, to that one it is unclean. For if your brother or sister is hurt by what you eat, you're no longer walking according to love. Do not destroy by what you eat someone for whom Christ died. Therefore, do not let your good be slandered, for the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Whoever serves Christ in this way is acceptable to God and receives human approval. So then, let us pursue what promotes peace and what builds up one another. Do not tear down God's work because of food. Everything is clean, but it is wrong to make someone fall by what he eats. It is a good thing not to eat meat or drink wine or do anything that makes your brother or sister stumble. Whatever you believe about these things, keep between yourself and God. Blessed is the one who does not condemn himself by what he approves. But whoever doubts stands condemned if he eats, because his eating is not from faith, and everything that is not from faith is sin. All right, you got that? Kind of comes off at first reading just a little technical. Just like, okay, so there's a lot of like clauses here. I mean, Paul writes the whole book of Romans in almost like a legal brief style, kind of laying out his case little by little. So let's step through this, all right? So he says, therefore. Therefore, let us no longer judge one another. So the therefore is because each must answer to God. Verse 12, you'll see that in front of you in your lap there. Verse 12 says each one should answer to God. So that's why the therefore is therefore. Therefore, because we each answer to God, we shouldn't judge one another. Let God be the judge. Instead, what do we do instead? We're called to not put a stumbling block or pitfall in the way of your brother or sister. And so again, the visual here is that you would stick something in front of them, they're walking along, and by your judgment of them, you're saying, oh man, they're not doing this right. They're not walking according to what God wants them to, and you're tripping them up if you judge them, if you go to them and tell them that they're wrong, because you don't need to, I think, is what Paul's point is here. He says earlier in the chapter, let each one be fully convinced in his own mind. He's leaving the judgment up to God. And so again, this is when it's a disputable matter, when it's something that Paul doesn't think is important. And I think that we have to be wise. We're going to talk about wisdom at the end of the message. Just, you got to be wise. You got to be able to discern. You got to be able to say, okay, so wait, is this something that we really got to hash out and be really concise with, or is this something that's more flexible? According to Paul, this issue of food and drinks is flexible. Verse 14, he says, I know and am persuaded in the Lord Jesus that nothing is unclean in itself. Now, he's talked about the law. He's talked about how there was all of these foods that were clean and unclean and things you could or couldn't eat. And then even back through the book of Acts, we see with Peter that God declares all foods clean. He releases them from that part of the law, fulfilling that part of the law. He says, Paul writes, though, still, to someone who considers a thing to be unclean, to that one, it is unclean. For if your brother or sister is hurt by what you eat, you are no longer walking in love. And so he's saying, okay, so this person, to them, they cannot do this in faith. You put in front of them meat and you say, I don't know if this has been sacrificed to idols or not. And they think, oh, I can't, my conscience would bother me if I ate this. Because I would think to myself, this has been in front of an idol. And that just seems wrong to me. And so I'm not going to do that. And so if they see you eating it and chowing down, they think, oh man, he's doing that. And he's participating in worshiping idols by doing this. Well, then you're not walking according to love. And this walking according to love, I mean, that's the sort of idea that Paul pushes over and over and over again. We're supposed to walk according to love. In Ephesians, kind of a twin book to Romans in a lot of ways, he says, be imitators of God as dearly loved children, and walk in love as Christ also loved us and gave himself to a sacrificial and fragrant offering to God. We're to walk in love. And I think that what he's doing is he says, okay, so this is the gospel. This is the first 11 chapters of Romans, but then there's other issues. There's other issues beyond this, and they can be disputed. Do not hurt your family member. Walk in love. But then he goes beyond hurt, and he says, do not destroy by what you eat someone for whom Christ died. And this is a tough verse because, I mean, here you are, you're doing something, you're making, causing somebody else to stumble by what you're doing, but could you actually destroy them? Well, I think that what he's talking about here is somebody who is on their way towards faith and understanding all of this and understanding the scriptures and understanding who Jesus is. And then when they see you doing something that in their mind is flagrantly wrong, that's going to push them away from Jesus. Now in 1 Corinthians, he says this. He says, to the Jews, I become like a Jew. To win the Jews, to those under the law, like one under the law, though I myself am not under the law, to win those under the law. To the weak, I become weak in order to win the weak. I become all things to all people so that I may, by every possible means, save some. And so probably he's in this place where he's like, okay, so here is somebody who's coming out of Judaism where they have all of these laws, where this is their culture, this is their lifestyle. They only eat this way, and to eat otherwise just seems like an anathema. This is completely wrong. How could you do that? And Paul's like, well, hey, you know what? I don't want to stumble you. Sure, I'm fine eating it, but I'm going to really try hard to make you comfortable by abstaining, by not eating that. We don't want to jeopardize someone's faith simply by being selfish. And honestly, I think that this is where we got with masks. I mean, we had a woman here at our church who had a compromised immune system. So for her, wearing masks was just a loving thing. You just think, well, for her to get COVID would be a really, really big deal. And so, yeah, it's uncomfortable and it's not fun and I don't like it, but I can put on a mask. I mean, that's a very obvious, like, okay, her immune system is weak. Let us, who maybe have strong immune systems and we don't care, step down to her level here and mask up. Now, there were other reasons. I realized that there was so much in politics and everything going on with that sort of thing. But how can you be loving? How can you, wherever you're at, on whatever issue it is, say, okay, I feel like I'm strong in this area, but I see this other person over here, and I need to walk in love towards them. I am commanded to walk in love towards them. And to do so otherwise is an affront to God. And I could hurt them, her physically, but even just somebody else's faith. But that's tough. So then Paul goes on, he says, therefore, do not let your good be slandered, for the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Whoever serves Christ in this way is acceptable to God and receives human approval. It's kind of a weird verse. So I think what he's trying to convey here is that you are, by doing something that helps the weak, it could be spoken of as evil. But you should not let that be slandered. You don't want to destroy somebody else's faith. You don't want to lead someone astray just because you feel like you can do it. Somebody else could legitimately call that evil, to lead somebody else astray. And even he says, receiving human approval. I think other people can look and say, you know what? I can see what's important. Righteousness, peace, joy, those are the important things. So therefore, we can maybe bypass some of these other things and focus on what's important. That's what the kingdom of God is about. This is the realm that Christians live in. Under the authority of God, we are his people. He sets what is important to us, and that is righteousness, peace, and joy, not eating or not. That's what Paul is challenging us towards. So then he says this, I love this verse. So then let us pursue what promotes peace and what builds up one another. There's so many things that we can fight over. We should promote peace. I've got four kids at home. And this verse, you know, some translation of it comes up probably just about every day. We just like, well, just get along. You guys are fighting over this. It's really not that big of a deal. You guys both want the same fork. We've got so many forks. Just go get a different fork. Whatever it might be. And God, I think, oftentimes sees our issues like that. And he's just like, oh, guys, this isn't about righteousness. This isn't about peace. This isn't about joy, or at least it shouldn't be. Figure it out. Promote peace. Build up one another. Back to Ephesians. He talks about the whole body fitted and knit together by every supporting ligament. We help each other grow. We build up the body together in love by the proper working of each individual part. We encourage one another. This is the way that the church ought to work, to build each other up in love. We're supposed to build up, not tear down. Verse 20. Do not tear down God's work because of food. He's building his church. And eating food in some ways seems to tear down the unity that we could have, the building of the body. Food shouldn't be this important. And again, Paul makes the point, everything is clean, but it is wrong to make someone fall by what he eats. It is a good thing not to eat meat or drink wine or do anything that makes your brother or sister stumble. One commentator I was reading pointed out, you know, when you walk with a really young child, you change how you walk, right? To try to keep them from stumbling. I found this picture. I really like this one. I have done that before in some shape or form when my kids were younger. You help them along. This is a weak person. This is somebody who's maybe young in their faith. They're just trying to get through dinner. And you're just over there being like, well, I could eat meat if I want to. And chowing down on your steak. We gotta take the humble road here. When you think of yourself as the strong person, you're like, I could do this if I wanted to. Well, it's humble to instead turn and say, you know what, I don't have to. That's fine. It's not a big deal. I am willing to forego this pleasure out of love for somebody else. The last couple of verses here. Whatever you believe about these things, keep between yourself and God. He's like, okay, you don't even need to broadcast it. Blessed is the one who does not condemn himself by what he approves. But whoever doubts stands condemned if he eats, because his eating is not from faith. Everything that is not from faith is sin. And so he just says, okay, so stepping back, the wide-angle view of this is you got to live in faith. We got to pursue faith. If you're struggling and you doubt in this area, you're like, maybe I shouldn't do that. Well, then maybe you just shouldn't do it. Or you pray and say, God, give me the faith to be able to do this. And ask him for that. Live in faith, walk in faith, interact with one another in faith. See what God has done for you and enjoy the fellowship that he gives us. Welcome one another. Live with one another. We have so many commands in God's word that says do this together. And yet we're oftentimes so fractured over things that don't matter. Put off selfishness. Pursue faith. Here's kind of a list of some of the things that Paul calls us to in this passage. He says, stop judging over disputed matters. Decide never to put a stumbling block or pitfall in front of somebody else. Do not destroy someone for whom Christ died just because of your selfishness. Do not let your good be slandered, but do the right thing, what people would approve of. Pursue what promotes peace and builds up others. Do not tear down God's work. And I think that there's a command here that calls us to faith. Because everything not from faith is sin. And I think that these are the marching orders that we have from God when an issue is disputable. Welcome anyone who is weak, but don't argue about disputed matters. So I want to kind of tag onto this by talking a little bit more about what is disputed, what is disputable. Because if we don't have that clear in our mind, and you kind of got to almost set yourself up by reading, okay, so what's not disputable? Read Romans 1 through 11. There's a lot there. And he says, these are the things that are important. But Paul does at times bring up other things that were disputed, and he says, you know what, I am going to draw a line in the sand here, and I'm going to make sure that you guys know this, because this is out of bounds. This is wrong. I think about Galatians. He says this, take note, I, Paul, am telling you that if you get yourself circumcised, Christ will not benefit you at all. Again, I testify to every man who gets himself circumcised that he is obligated to do the entire law. You who are trying to be justified by the law are alienated from Christ. You have fallen from grace. Whew! Sounds like he's disputing something here. And I think what he's shooting for here is he's saying, okay, you have made this a salvation issue. You have said in order to be a Christian, you must get circumcised. And Paul's saying, well, you might as well just go obey the entire law then, because if you're going to pull out that one thing, the thing that was given to Abraham as the distinguishing thing that makes you a Jew or not, then you are coming at this and you are making this a core salvation issue. In Titus, he writes to him, and he says, oh man, he says a lot. This is kind of a long passage, so try to bear with this here. I thought about making you guys turn to it in scriptures, but he starts off with this. We'll go slide by slide here for you guys. But when the kindness of our God and our Savior and his love for mankind appear, he saved us, not by works of righteousness that we had done, but according to his mercy, through the washing of regeneration and the renewal by the Holy Spirit. He poured out his Spirit on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that having been justified by his grace, we may become heirs with the hope of eternal life. And I think Paul is saying, okay, so here is the gospel. And you could add things to it, you know, you could tag on some other stuff to it, but he's like, okay, so here is the gospel, all right? Then he goes on in verse 8 and he says, this saying is trustworthy. Okay, so that, the gospel, is trustworthy. I want you to insist on these things so that those who have believed in God might be careful to devote themselves to good works. So he's like, okay, so this is the gospel. Believe that stuff. Do good works. These are good and profitable for everyone. But then he says, okay, but avoid foolish debates, genealogies, quarrels, and disputes about the law, because they are unprofitable and worthless. So there are things that are good and profitable, and there are other things that are unprofitable and even worthless. Reject a divisive person after a first and second warning, for you know that such a person has gone astray and is sinning. He is self-condemned. And so he's like, okay, so we can argue about some stuff. This is good that we would argue about this. And this is the gospel. But then he says, okay, there's other stuff you shouldn't argue about. And some of it that's even so unprofitable that it leans into sinning, where you would say this is wrong for you to fight over. Anything that doesn't come from faith is sin. So is it a salvation issue? Is this something that is so important that you must make it core? And now here's where we get to the difference between a strong person and a weak person, because the strong person who has the faith to say, you know what, I believe Jesus, I believe that I'm a sinner and that Christ died for me and that I've put my faith in him, the core tenets of the gospel, and I'm secure in that. I don't need to deal with that issue. But then the weak person says, well, no, this is a core issue. How you do this or how this is or that is. And so then suddenly you who are strong have to turn and say, you know what? Oh, I don't see that as a core issue, but I love you. And so therefore I'm not going to make it an issue by going along with you. That's what Paul is after here. I've got a slide here. I don't know how well you can read this. Yeah, that's pretty decent. I mean, Jesus is at the center here. Salvation is at the center. How we relate to God is at the center. But then you have all of these other things, and the further out you get from that, the less connected it is. Well, then you say, okay, you know, but we all have different maps. We all can come at things from a different point of view, and we say, well, this really is important. Can you be a Christian and blank? Because the weak person says, ah, oh, you know what, I just don't think you could do that. And the strong person says, well, of course you can. It's no big deal. It's not a salvation issue. We got to figure this out. And I think, in my mind, what helps us is how does the Bible treat these truths? Is it a salvation issue? Is it a unity issue? What can you discuss? And when you focus on what the Bible is very clear about and repeats over and over and over again, and you see throughout the counsel of Scripture, you can say, okay, that is a rock-solid issue. Let's not debate on that. Let's decide that this is the way that the Bible says that we ought to live. But if the Bible is quiet on it, or if you infer something off of what the Bible says, maybe that's a little bit more debatable. Maybe that's a little bit further out on the target from the core issues. I think the further away you get from how do you get saved, I think Paul gives allowances. And that's hard. It's humbling because we can get so tied up in our issues. We can think, well, I just got to change this weak person's mind. That's what I got to do. I got to help them understand that this isn't a salvation issue. Well, Paul says, be really careful. Love them. Love them. Show love to them. Walk in love. And now I think that there is a level where this is a salvation issue, and we got to figure that out, and these are not salvation issues, but you also have unity issues, where you would say, okay, so we do things so differently, we both agree on the gospel, but we do things so differently that I'm not sure if we can be united and do this together. And that can be tough. You got to figure that out. And then you got to figure out, you got to be able to kind of lean into an issue and say, okay, so can we discuss this without disrupting or harming each other's faith? That's a tough thing. Paul says, I'm convinced before God that food doesn't matter. Obviously, he's talking about it. And he's got people who are reading this. And so he's bringing up this matter. But we got to be wise. We got to figure out what the difference is between a disputed issue and when an issue crosses over from being just a unity issue or a disputed issue into something that connects with our salvation. So as I was thinking through this, I just want to close with a couple Proverbs, because Proverbs talks about wisdom. And oftentimes doesn't give you a rock solid, like you always do this or you never do that. It's the way that we ought to live in wisdom, in pursuing God in wisdom. The sensible person's wisdom is to consider his way, but the stupidity of fools deceives them. We got to pursue God to get wisdom from him. We got to understand what's going on around us. The discerning person can figure it out. You can watch somebody and you can say, okay, so here's my opinion, and you start to share, but if they start to go, ooh, whoa, that's a big deal, then maybe you back off a little bit and you say, okay, well, hey, it's an idea, and you know, you just try to talk to them and you try to figure this out. And then maybe you retreat to safe ground and you say, okay, well, this is who I believe Jesus is and this is what he's done, and they go, yeah. And you can get back to unity. But it's tough. And especially in our world, oh man, these two Proverbs really hit home over and over and over again. Don't answer a fool according to his foolishness, or you will be like him. There's so many fools out there just venting their foolishness. And if you engage with them, you descend to their level of foolishness. But if you don't, they'll become wise in their own eyes. So this takes wisdom on our part. This takes discernment. This takes counsel, talking through it together. And you say, hey, you know what? I don't think that this is a good thing that this other person's doing, but they seem to be fine with it. Well, is it a salvation issue or not? Try to work it out together. So I challenge you guys, pursue God on this. Think through the issues that come up in your heart and in your life. Figure it out. Does the word talk about this? Is this a salvation issue? Is this something that's talked about a lot in Scripture, or is this just kind of an inference off of one verse? It's tough, but we can do this. We can get through this together. I have faith in that. All right, let's pray. Lord, thank you. We honor you, Lord. We praise you that you gave us enough in your word to figure it out. Help us to walk in faith. Help us to enjoy the righteousness and peace and joy that you can give us. Help us encourage one another while it's still called today. Help us to push off judgment. Help us to push off selfishness. Help us to humble ourselves. Help us to become all things to all people so that in some way we might win some. Thank you for your strength inside of us, helping us do this. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Thanks so much for coming, folks. If you'd like to talk with somebody, we've got our prayer nook over here. You can come pray. And check in with some people about what's going on in your life. All right? Have a good Sunday. We'll see you next week.